Hospitality. Both of our texts this morning touch on that. It's a thread that runs through the epistle lesson and the gospel lesson. So we turn now to Luke's gospel, to the 14th chapter, and hear Jesus' words on the topic. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Two little magic words that open any door with ease. One little word is thanks, and the other little word is please. Yes, did anybody besides me learn that in kindergarten? I learned that in kindergarten, and it has stuck with me absolutely all for several years now. We'll just leave it at that. Manners. Good manners. And I think it's hard for most of us to imagine what the reaction to Jesus' words in our gospel lesson this morning, how they would have sounded us. To us, they sound polite, good advice, please and thank you. But to Jesus' hearers, it was a little different. You've got to remember that in that time there was a big shame, honor culture, and in many parts of the world that still exists today. And so they were intensely sensitive to issues of status and recognition. And Jesus' words would have seemed remarkable, maybe even a little bit offensive. I say ultimately because the problem Jesus names was an acute problem. There would have been few things more humiliating than to have your host ask you to move to a lower position at the table. You would feel like you've been named an upstart. You would have been branded as getting too big for your britches, right? You understand that phrase. I do. One who didn't know their place. And so that physical act of having to stand up while everybody was looking at you and move to a lower place would have been embarrassing. But Jesus doesn't stop with just offering advice on social etiquette. He moves on to admonishing his listeners not to pay any attention to the payoff or the reward in such situations. Jesus said that they shouldn't even begin by inviting somebody who could pay them back. Somebody who it was a quid pro quo kind of, I'll invite you to my dinner party, and then in a couple of weeks I expect an invitation in return. Jesus says, go out and invite people. Anybody. Whoever you come across, say, you want to come to dinner at my house? Come on, I'm throwing a barbecue. It's Labor Day weekend. We're going to have hot dogs. We're going to have pulled pork. Come, there's going to be plenty for everybody. And the thing is, I think Jesus means it. I think he's serious about this. Jesus' whole life was centered on inviting into the presence of God those who neither expected an invitation or who felt like they deserved an invitation. And Jesus invites us to do the same. He invites us to stop counting the cost, the risk benefit analysis, and he rewards our actions in doing so with a sense of abundance and blessing. Counting. It's another thing I learned in kindergarten, and it was drilled into us so deeply, it seems that when we become adults, we can't stop counting. And accounting takes a toll on us. Whether we're counting what's in our bank accounts, I don't think anybody won the Powerball last night, so we don't have to worry about that. Or whether it's counting the opinions of our neighbors, or measuring what we wear or what we do, we always seem to be counting. Because I think we live with the idea that there just might not be enough. Not enough money, not enough time, not enough prestige, not enough resources, not enough recognition, you name it, and the conviction seems sure, even unquestionable, because so much of what we see and hear around us tells us there isn't enough. But what if? What if there was enough? Enough and more to go around for everybody. What difference would it make in our own peace of mind and the way we treat others? What if we saw others as not competitors for the scarce resources of the kingdom, but as partners commissioned by God to distribute the riches of God's goodness, that word on my bracelet again, goodness and grace. Well, we're getting closer and closer to Christmas, right? I was with grandchildren yesterday, and they were already talking about Christmas. One of their favorite things to do when the family gathers for Christmas is who gets to be Santa's helper, right? Who's the one, now that they're old enough that they can read the names on the gift tags, who's the one who's going to get to give the gifts out? At that age, it is more fun to give than it is to actually sit there and wait for gifts to come your way. There's something simply joyful about about giving to others out of this sense of abundance. And that's what Jesus is inviting us to here, to stop counting and to start sharing and blessing. And while this might sound like a stewardship sermon, and maybe it is in a way, we've got to keep in mind that Jesus' focus here is not so much about stuff or resources as it is about relationships. And to ask what it would be like to live in the freedom to stop calculating our social prestige, to stop worrying about what somebody else thinks, and simply to be kind to everybody around us, especially to those who are not often the recipients of kindness. What would that look like? What would that look like at work or at school or the places we volunteer or during sporting events? I got one at 3:00 this afternoon, and I've got to remember as I watch it to be kind. Even in that situation, what would that look like? If we remembered that kindness was our guiding principle. While I realize that Jesus' words are couched as commands, do this, I really think he means it to be an invitation to us. An invitation to live lives that are freed from the constraints and the worries of what everybody else thinks. An invitation to experience the joy of being not Santa's helpers, but God's helper. In handing out the good gifts of grace and dignity and worth and value with which we have all been blessed. Over and over again, Jesus reminds us of this simple but life-changing truth that people are more important than rules, more important than status, more important than stuff. Jesus calls us to come out of hiding behind those things that we put in place to protect us and our egos, and to live in compassion and mercy and love. Jesus challenges us to live up to and into what we at Surfside United Methodist Church say about who we are, living out the love of Jesus through our words, our faith, our works, through worship and study and fellowship, not just programs and activities that are listed in the bulletin, but truly opportunities to help us become those people that Jesus would have us to be. We need a break. Even if we can't name it as such, from the relentless counting that our culture encourages. We need to be reminded of the joy that comes from blessing without regard. I invite you to hear that word from Jesus today, especially today on this Labor Day weekend. The invitation to let go of the relentless striving and to live into God's realm of abundance and blessing, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may be ushered into God's realm of abundance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.